Welcome to New Hope for Living, hosted by licensed therapist Russ Porter. New Hope for Living offers practical advice and discussion on effective living as Christians in a broken and fallen world. Today, Russ talks about the transformational power of hope. Here is your host, Russ Porter.
Good afternoon and welcome to New Hope for Living. New Hope for Living is a topical call-in show where we discuss the issues of the day from a Christian counseling perspective. We are all broken people in a broken and fallen world, and this show hopes to address issues that create challenges and difficulties in our lives and help us figure out more effective ways to live. I am Russ Porter. I am the director of the New Hope Counseling Center, which is a branch of Christ the King Lutheran Ministries. New Hope Counseling Center is committed to helping people and their families overcome their struggles to walk in newness of life. Call New Hope Counseling Center at 727-595-2119. Today on New Hope for Living, we're going to wrestle with dealing with depression, finding healthy ways to overcome the blues. Depression is a very common experience. It's something that we all go through different stages in our lives, some of us more than others. It's something that we can't avoid, the idea of being disappointed or frustrated or losing things in our lives and then experience feelings of sadness, feelings of depression. And this comes from what I'd call the God-given alarm system that He built all of us with. We each have the ability to feel things, and our feelings are not just something that we have to endure or suffer. They're actually there for a particular reason. Whenever we feel anxious or afraid, that is our bodies telling us that there's something going on that threatens us, that poses some sort of risk to our current situation, either physically or emotionally. When we get angry, it's when we're threatened or injured by something that we feel stronger than, that we need to rise up in order to defeat. When we feel sad, it's because we've lost someone or something that is significant to us, whether it is a physical object or a person, or even maybe an ability or an opportunity. So this is the alarm system that God gave us to get our attention whenever something important is happening. So the thing is, living in this fallen world that I keep mentioning, loss and feelings of loss are just an absolute byproduct. We're going to experience them in our lives. Our lives are not as they should be. We have not experienced the world that Adam and Eve were given. This is not the Garden of Eden, if you haven't noticed that. But what happens is that we are constantly losing things. We were designed for perfection. We are designed for immortality. But in real life, we lose people. We lose people to death. We lose people to conflicts and broken relationships. We lose people just to outside circumstances that move us away. So we are constantly dealing with the concept of loss. And our society continually reminds us of all the things that we lack or that we aren't. We've talked about the media on this show. We've talked about how they create a sense of emptiness in order to peddle products to fill that need, but they are constantly reminding us of all the things that we don't have or all the things that we're losing. Now, depression is something that's very, very well studied because it's such a prominent aspect of our lives as Americans. And here are some statistics that kind of enlighten what this phenomenon deals. 10% of all people, 1 in 10, are currently experiencing depression. And 4% of those people are what you would call majorly depressed, and that would be where the depression has gotten to the point of where it impacts their functioning, their ability to deal with life, and may even create suicidal thoughts or tendencies. People that are more likely to be depressed are people from the ages of 45 to 64 years of age. So middle-aged folks get hit with depression more often than other ages. The second most prominent age where depression occurs, and this was a surprise to me, is between 18 and 24. Our college students and our young adults struggle with depression more so than most other age groups, most other times of life. And you think about it, there's a lot of listlessness and confusion or, you know, lack of direction that people in that age group can experience, and I can see where that would come off as depression. Women, they deal with depression more than men. 70% of all people who are depressed are female. People of non-Caucasian races or multiple races, they have more depression than Caucasians. Now, this may be because of various societal factors, that they may be disenfranchised, they may have had a more difficult life coming up from the ethnicities that they have, but the fact remains that they struggle with depression more than white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. People who do not have a high school education tend to experience depression more. And also people who have previously been married, if for whatever reason they are no longer married, they deal with more depression than other folks. Noteworthy is that depression, believe it or not, is the leading cause of medical disability in America. I mean, think about that. Of all the reasons and all the ways that a person can be disabled and unable to be gainfully employed, depression is the thing that takes people out more than any other kind of disease. Speaking of disease, let's talk about what depression is. Depression is defined as a disorder marked especially by sadness, inactivity, difficulty in thinking and concentration, a significant increase or decrease in appetite and time spent sleeping, feelings of dejection and hopelessness, and sometimes suicidal thoughts. In teenagers and children, also irritability is a symptom of depression. And what depression is an emotional disorder, but it has physical components, which can contribute to a downward spiral. Depression is often affected by these chemicals in our brains called neurotransmitters. They're the things that kind of get the messages going back and forth in the biological computer that we have that we call the brain. And what will happen is these chemicals, then they are balanced in such a way that they will convey certain moods depending on what's happening in a person's life. And sometimes people who deal with depression, they have what would be called clinical depression, and those neurotransmitters are out of balance. The depressive chemicals end up dominating, and this can create a downward spiral. A person may emotionally feel depressed, which sends messages to the brain to kind of shut down and limit activity. So the brain suppresses a lot of the energy in the body, which makes the person feel even more emotionally depressed. Give us a call at 855-265-2929 if you'd like to weigh in on the discussion on depression, if this is something that you've experienced either directly or indirectly with a family member, and we'll talk about that. Now, there are many different types of depression. I'll put two categories out there first. One would be situational versus clinical. Situational depression would be a natural emotional response to some negative events that might have occurred in your life. And it's something that's transient. In other words, you experience it for a time and then you recover and you get over it. Whereas clinical depressions, they are more disorders in terms of, regardless of what happens in the world around you, you experience the depressive symptoms. Different types of depression. Major depression, that's like an episode that I just discussed where a person may be completely debilitated because of how depressed they feel. But there's one that's common that's called dysthymia, and I think a lot of people experience this and don't even realize that they have. What it is this would be a long, low-level depression that lasts 2 years or longer in adults or a year or longer in teenagers. And it's where just feeling kind of zapped, like you lost your zip to your doodah, that life is not quite as energetic and happy as you would normally want to experience it, but not enough that you are wanting to jump off the skyway. There's something called seasonal affective disorder, and it's more common up north in snowier climates where during the fall and winter where the weather is overcast a lot, you think of Seattle, that people have a hard time being energetic and feeling happy about things. Some people speculate that vitamin D is the issue. There's bipolar disorder that seems to have gotten a lot more play recently in society, where a person would alternate between extremes of extreme mania and being, you know, very energetic and up and impulsive for days at a time to major depressive episodes. And with bipolar disorder, it's kind of like the normal limits that kind of keep your mood tied to the middle ground, that those limits don't apply. In addition, there's postpartum depression that a lot of women experience shortly after giving birth. You know, there are chemical realities as hormones balance back out after the experience of the birth situation. And there is something we're going to talk about a little more later called post-adrenaline depression. This is something that's not been talked about much until recently, but we'll get into that a little further on. After the break, we are going to continue our discussion on depression, and we're going to focus on depression in the kingdom, how Christians struggle with depression, how they deal with the issues of the feelings that they have, and how they deal with having friends and family members that also struggle with depression, and how we don't necessarily handle this well as a Christian community. I am Russ Porter. I'm the director of New Hope Counseling Center, and this is New Hope for Living on Inspiration AM, WTIS.
Christ the King is
more than just a place to worship.
This church is like a second family.
A place where I can grow in the Lord.
Christ the King is people reaching out to people.
I enjoy helping others.
Working within our church family.
Working with the homeless.
Christ the King is
knowing Christ
and making Him known.
Christ the King Lutheran Ministries is hundreds of people working in dozens of ministries to reach out. Visit us at ctklm.org.
When life is hard, there is hope.
I can't talk to my husband anymore.
Why am I always so angry?
I don't recognize my son anymore, let alone understand him.
Why do I let people take advantage of me?
I can't seem to get along with anybody.
Is this as good as life gets?
When life is hard, there is hope. New Hope Counseling Center is here to help. Call New Hope Counseling Center at 595-2119 to begin your journey into hope.
Jesus put his loving arms around the children because he loved the little ones so much. At Loving Arms Christian Preschool, your child will experience that kind of love. Loving Arms Preschool is a nurturing, safe environment and open year-round. We're a quality, Christ-centered atmosphere for 1 to 6-year-olds. Loving Arms is a Florida VPK provider and offers full and part-time enrollment. Call Loving Arms Christian Preschool for a tour, 727-595-2112, or visit ctklm.org, 727-595-2112, or visit ctklm.org.
And I find it kind of funny, I find it kind of sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very mad world.
Welcome back to New Hope for Living. I am Russ Porter, the director of New Hope Counseling Center. New Hope for Living, I wanted to let you know that on the WTIS website that you can go to the show archives. If you go to the New Hope for Living page, they have a list of the different shows that have been done up to date so that you could listen at your convenience. Also, I want to encourage you to check out the Facebook page and hit like. We're going to continue our discussion on dealing with depression, finding healthy ways to overcome the blues. Please give us a call at 855-265-2929 if you'd like to join to the discussion. At this point, we're going to talk about depression within the kingdom of God. And oddly enough, being a Christian with depression can actually be a disadvantage. You know, you normally like to think that with all the resources that we have as Christians, the relationship with God that we have, the relationship with the Christian community, that this would be a helpful thing. Well, with depression, it actually becomes a barrier. For good or for ill, a lot of times people will have the concept in their mind that depression would be a weakness or some form of lack of faith. The idea that, well, okay, if you're a Christian and you know God and He lives in you, how can you be depressed? What's there to be depressed about? Everything should be great. Well, if you ever talk to a person that's depressed, or if you've been depressed yourself, somebody telling you how awesome your life should be and how you should feel doesn't tend to make you feel better. It actually frustrates you or highlights how things are not going well, or it might even build resentment in you. And you know, oftentimes there are well-meaning people out there, whenever you actually admit to troubles or difficulties and want to talk about them, they have a just give it to Jesus attitude. And there's nothing wrong with giving anything to Jesus. But unfortunately, Christians are really, really good at slinging platitudes and can be very condescending. And that doesn't actually help a person that's in some form of crisis. Also, there's kind of a viewpoint in some circles within Christianity of a really negative view of antidepressants or any other psychotropic medication. That there's a thought that that kind of medication is different than medication you might take for a disease such as, you know, diabetes or such as cancer. And so there's, you know, just kind of this, these negative assumptions that come along with that. These things can lead to a sense of isolation, a sense of wanting to avoid being around other Christians or even talk to other Christians about the problems that you're dealing with. The conclusion that many Christians that suffer from depression, the conclusion that they come to is that something is wrong with me, I am somehow flawed, that a relationship with Christ is enough to defer depression for everybody else, but it doesn't work for me, so somehow I must be lacking. Well, at the moment, we are going to go to a call from Wendy. Good afternoon, Wendy. Let me try that again. Good afternoon, Wendy. Welcome to New Hope for Living.
Good afternoon, Russ.
Well, so we've been talking about depression and depression in the kingdom of God, and something evidently prompted you to want to weigh in on the conversation. So what is your question or comment you'd like to start with?
Well, I would have to say that I think in certain circumstances that you do need medication to get through the depression. I've had a pastor speak and say that you don't really need the medication, that just turn to God. Mm-hmm. And I know from experience that you do need the medication.
All right, so this is something you've gone through personally or just with a family member?
Personally.
Okay. And did you find that during that time in your life when you were struggling the most with depression that that you know just using the pastor for counseling or using the Bible to go to, that for some reason that wasn't enough to get you through?
No, it wasn't. And what I was going through was so traumatic that it was actually hard for me to go through the Bible.
Mm. And, you know, without me getting too personal to your situation, was part of that because when you were calling on God that the feeling that you were experiencing didn't end up changing? Was that part of what made that difficult?
Yes.
Now, interestingly enough, you know, we have a relationship with the God of the universe. There is nothing that he is not capable of doing. But sometimes we believers really struggle because God doesn't necessarily step into every situation and give us the deliverance either in the time frame or in the manner that we are hoping for. And that can leave believers, you know, kind of out on a limb, feeling, you know, frustrated and disillusioned. And does that sound a little bit like the experience that you're describing?
Yes, definitely.
And do you feel comfortable sharing a little bit more about that time in your life, you know, what might have been going on that kind of threw you into that depression?
Well, it had to do with sexual abuse when I was a child. Which led to the same with one of my children. You know, so it was just really hard, you know, calling out to God, and it just didn't seem that God was there.
Mm. That's difficult. That is very difficult. And I'm very sorry for what you had to go through with that trauma. And, you know, I'm sure there were questions in your mind, too, that if we have a loving God, you know, how did all this end up happening?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what has helped you get to a better place at this point with all those issues?
To be honest, I would have to say I was put on the right medication and support and just reconnecting with God instead of blaming God, because I spent a lot of years blaming God.
Okay. And so with the support you had, it sounds like you found some people that would hear your story and would understand and supported your story, and instead of, you know, we'd mentioned a little earlier about just throwing platitudes about just give it to the Lord. I can imagine that the support you needed had to be a little bit more, I don't know, a little deeper and a little stronger than that.
Mm-hmm.
So did you find that help through your church, or just you know, through some other people that maybe have walked the same paths as you?
I can't say through the church. I think it was just God reaching out to me, and certain circumstances that would lead me to the Bible, whether it be through songs or other circumstances and, you know, stuff like that. But I didn't get any help from my church.
Okay. And I'm sorry to hear that. And I think part of the issue that I have is that as the greater community, the Christian community, we're just not very good at dealing with some of these very difficult topics. And in general, if we're not uncomfortable with something, a lot of times we'll end up just avoiding it and not developing the skills we need as a church to really minister to all of those that are hurting. Wendy, I want to thank you for your call, and I will pray for you and your continued growth and recovery. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you.
Wendy's experience is not uncommon, and you know, I think as Christians, we need to really work to become more loving and supportive of our brothers and sisters that suffer from depression, or in this case, also sexual abuse. And many times what will happen is that people that have depressive issues, it's not the only issue they have. There may be other things like that in their past, dysfunctional families, forms of abuse, perhaps substance abuse, things like that. So depression is not the only battle, not the only demon that they're fighting at any given time. And as the Christian community, as people who are charged with loving and having compassion for the people in the world around us, as well as the people in our own congregation, we owe it to each other and we owe it to ourselves to become more effective at how we love and support people that are struggling with some of these issues. And you know, I think there is a rampant kind of mentality that we avoid people like that because we're afraid that somehow we're going to catch what they have, or that maybe we're inadequate and we can't provide the answers that they're really needing. And I want to let you know, if this show strikes a chord with you, or if you or a loved one is in need of counseling to deal with depression or other issues, please call us at New Hope Counseling Center at 727-595-2119. We'd love to talk with you about how we can be of help. When we come back, we're going to talk about the male side of depression. There are specific issues that we men deal with when it comes to this. I am Russ Porter, the director of New Hope Counseling Center, and this is New Hope for Living on Inspiration AM, WTIS.
Tell me once again who I am to you, who I am to you. Tell me lest I forget who I am to you, that I belong.
You're listening to the home of the Mike Huckabee and Dave Ramsey shows, Inspiration Radio, AM 1110, WTIS, Tampa.
IRN USA Radio News. I'm Hope Duggar. A U.S. bankruptcy court judge Wednesday suspended lawsuits challenging Detroit's historic bankruptcy filing while he reviews the city's petition for protection from creditors. Following the first hearing in the case earlier on Wednesday, Judge Stephen Rhodes issued a stay on all litigation related to the bankruptcy. Rhodes also extended that stay to lawsuits filed against Michigan's governor, state treasurer, and Kevin Orr, Detroit's state-appointed emergency manager, who filed the biggest Chapter 9 municipal bankruptcy petition in U.S. history for the city on July 18th. Rhodes also declared that Orr is a valid officer for the city. Borrowing for tuition, housing, and books would be less expensive for students this fall, but the cost would start climbing almost immediately under a deal the Senate was poised to pass Wednesday. The bipartisan proposal lawmakers were considering would link interest rates on federal student loans to the financial markets, providing lower interest rates right away but higher ones if the economy improves as expected. This is IRN USA Radio News.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGDirect.com.
So I knew it was important to have life insurance to protect our family, but I was putting it off. But then yesterday, a girlfriend of mine asked me, point blank, what would happen if you lost your husband? How would you pay the bills? The mortgage? The car payments? Food? And that's when it really hit me, and I realized I needed to get us life insurance. Right now. So I called AIG Direct, and in less than 5 minutes, I had a quote. I was shocked at how affordable it is. Just $17 a month for $250,000 of term life coverage. I feel so much better knowing the kids and I are protected. And my husband was so happy I got the quote.
Save up to 70% when you get term life insurance through AIG Direct. Call now for a free, no obligation quote. It only takes 5 minutes and you could save up to 70%. Call 1-800-463-9240. That's 1-800-463-9240. 1-800-463-9240.
Traffic report is service of Friendly Kia around US 19 Newport Richey. We're looking at Starkey at 91st with some blockage. Northbound on the Bayside Bridge approaching Gulf to Bay, a crash reported. Almerton, I-275, some activity there for you. Now we also have activity 301 northbound at Adamo Drive, and a big problem is going to be working on the railroad track crossings there on 50th Street south of Causeway. Big delays to that area of Hillsborough County. At Friendly Kia, US 19 Newport Richey, get the guaranteed lowest delivered price every day and the best warranty in the business at 10 years, 100,000 miles. Stop in, take the Kia Challenge today, US 19 Newport Richey, online friendlykia.com. Dave Anderson, Inspiration AM 1110, WTIS.
When you try your best but you don't succeed, when you get what you want but not what you need, when you feel so tired but you can't sleep, stuck in
Welcome back to New Hope for Living. I am Russ Porter, the director of New Hope Counseling Center. I want to encourage you, if you want to listen to the show, you can download the TuneIn app on your mobile device and search for WTIS, and you can listen live to whatever we have going on at the station. I also want to encourage you to visit the WTIS Facebook page and the WTIS web page for content on everything that we've got going on here at the station. We're going to resume our discussion on dealing with depression, healthy ways to overcome the blues. And now we're going to focus a little bit on male depression. And there's some differences between how we experience and deal with this and how women deal with depression. So much of our identity as men, and you may have run into some of this in our show last week, talking about what it means to be a real man, that our identity and self-worth are tied very much to our accomplishment, to the things that we do, and our abilities to be competent, to be effective, to have what it takes. This is how we end up defining the way we see ourselves. We struggle mightily with feelings of failure, whether they're real failure or just in our perceptions. Our identity and worth are also tied to a feeling of strength. So with this, something that I've been noticing as I've experienced the thralls of middle age, that circumstances and age attack our strength, attack our accomplishment, and they diminish our abilities. Age steals. There's a sportscaster I heard once say that Father Time is the only athlete that is undefeated because he always wins. No matter who you are, no matter what skills you have, Father Time will eventually defeat you. So with us men, we really struggle with these lost abilities and this diminishment of ourselves. So what this will lead to, though, because in general we men are not quite so verbal, we end up emotionally isolating. Instead of talking to people about what we're going through, we kind of just try to, you know, suffer alone and tough things out and, you know, just overcome things by sheer will. And that ends up being the undoing of some people. The depression just festers and it grows. Also, I'd mentioned something before the break about something called post-adrenaline depression, and men deal with this a great deal. And what post-adrenaline depression is that whenever we have a task or a challenge that we deal with and that we have to really gear up for and build a lot of energy into and push real hard, once we get through that, see, our adrenaline is pumping, and then once we get through that, there's a crash. Our adrenal system will have to reset. It has to go back to baseline. But it doesn't go back to baseline. It actually shuts down a little bit until it heals. That's why after accomplishing great things, even when being successful or going through some sort of trauma, there's this emotional crash that we all feel. And with men, it just feels like depression and it feels awful. We are not very good at dealing with those feelings, and so we usually try to jack up our adrenal system again in order to avoid those negative and depressed feelings. And what happens is sometimes it can even create medical issues. There are men who have had enlarged adrenal glands because they keep trying to, you know, tap that adrenal system and it never actually gets to rest, it never gets to heal. Now, with pastors, it's been nicknamed the Monday morning syndrome, because this is why, you know, a lot of times pastors will take Mondays off. Sunday is the big day. That is when they, you know, preach a couple services, they're shaking hands, they're kissing babies, you know, they are on, and they have to be on their game. So after that happens, there's, you know, a crash. On Monday morning, sometimes the pastors can be grumpy, and the staff may realize that they need to avoid them to kind of give them time to get back to themselves. That's that post-adrenaline depression that we're talking about. And so the inability to accept, you know, that kind of slowdown and the negative feelings will often keep us from being able to heal and get back to normal. Well, this time we're going to go to Steve on the bat phone. Good afternoon, Steve. Welcome to New Hope for Living. So we've been talking about depression, and we just tipped on the male side of depression, and I'm just wondering what today has prompted you to call.
Well, you know, I've been a long-time sufferer with depression. My first experience with it was when I was 8 years old. I remember walking to school on my birthday and just being really down and just thinking that the world would be so much better if I wasn't in it. You know, for my family, obviously for me. But then, I spent an entire lifetime just thinking that was normal. And that was the way everybody was. But it come to find out that, I struggled with it. I really had some problems, and I didn't talk to people about it. I thought I was normal.
That's a pretty profound realization that at such a young age, to experience that level of hopelessness.
Well, yeah, I love my parents, but you know, our childhood was a little awkward. You know, my dad was an alcoholic. Sometimes he was an abusive alcoholic, and I can't remember, you know, two conversations I ever had with him in my entire life. You know, they divorced when I was 10, and I've never seen him again. And that obviously helped my depression quite a bit. I mean, it fueled
indeed.
You know, growing up without any male influence, and because, you know, I went through my entire adolescence, you know, being raised by my mom, So, yeah, I knew how women felt about things, but I didn't know how guys did things. So I really felt like an outcast. And then I feel like a big part of my depression is it's always been fueled by my need to be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to look for acceptance, but never accepting myself. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. As I say that, considering what you were set up with you know, your dad abandoning you first emotionally with his alcoholism and then literally abandoning you, we draw so much from our dads that, you know, we're looking for the attaboys, we're looking for the shaping to teach us how to man up and do those things, and you were kind of left to fly on your own. And I can see why you would want acceptance and affirmation now.
Well, you know, I've got an older brother, and we've been talking recently about our childhood. So he was raised by his mom, you know, because my dad and his mom divorced and he married my mom. Well, we've talked recently about being a lot like our dad, and I've always told him, I said, it'd have even been nice, because he's 10 years older than I am, it would have been nice to have you around,
mm-hmm.
you know, as an older brother to kind of help bounce some things off me. And then he pointed out, he says, man, I didn't have a clue either. He said, I didn't know what I was doing, you know, because our dad was absent in his life as well.
Well, and at that point, both of you are just trying to survive childhood. It's, you can't really give something to someone else that you don't even have.
Yeah, I would liken it to us both being in sinking boats and bailing water into each other's boat. So out of our boat into his.
That's a great illustration.
That would have been us.
Yeah.
Well,
it's kind of cool that at this point you guys can relate on this and kind of talk through and make sense out of what happened before.
Yeah, it's surprisingly, because even though we were raised completely separate, yeah, I would see him from time to time over my years, but we are so similar in our traits. I mean, it's kind of freaky, you know, the way we view life in general, our sense of humor, our struggles with different things through life, and he too, you know, he struggled with depression, and he sought relief in much the same way that I did, and it wasn't constructive.
Mm-hmm.
So we definitely are genetically predisposed to being depressed. One thing too is now that you know, my faith is stronger and I do better with it. I don't take any more medication. Gosh, there were years where I took a lot of medication to cope with mm-hmm. my depression, but now that my faith is stronger, I'm on the right track. Now I find that what the problem is that I don't want to risk not being depressed. I don't want to risk not being melancholy, because I fear that I'm going to get caught off guard.
What,
you know,
a powerful
statement.
If
I'm happy and joyous and things are going great, somebody's going to come and pull the rug out from under me and I won't be prepared. So I won't catch myself when I fall.
Yeah, that is a very powerful statement, because, you know, a lot of people, they are so used to reality being dark that they keep the lights dim in their own life just so they don't risk being disappointed or falling hard like that. And so, I mean, if you think about it, look at this. Here you are. Actually, how old are you, Steve?
56.
Okay, and at 56, you're still playing out a lot of the stuff that you had back when you were that 8-year-old, that 10-year-old, that teenager. Now, it sounds like that you've gained a lot of insight over the years, and that God has been merciful and gracious to you and revealed himself to you. But at the same time, you know, you're still, at your age, figuring things out and making sense out of it.
Exactly.
Wouldn't it be great if you could actually have a day where you say, you know what, the heck with it. I'm going to take a risk. I'm going to be happy today and see what happens. I dare depression to come get me.
And it's, you know, that's a challenge that I have to make to myself every day, that, you know, I have to sit there and think, all right, there's nothing wrong. Life is good. You know, things are nice and peaceful and I'm safe. You know what, let's just smile today. You know, let's smile at people today and see how that goes. And, but it takes a conscious effort, because you know, for a good part, 50 years of my life, I didn't want to risk it. So now at 56, I'm having to learn all these things.
Well, it sounds like you're a good student of this, and that although your road has been hard, that you are actually gaining some ground. You're gaining some purchase against this.
Mm-hmm.
And
but you know what helps is having men around, because I was listening to men don't like to share, and in fact I read it today. You know, we're only as sick as our secrets. And I'm tired of being depressed. I'm tired of being down. I'm tired of a lot of the problems. So I don't want to have any more secrets. You know, I want things out there so that these things can't. You know, somebody once told me, an exploded bomb can't hurt you. And I like that.
Well, that's true. If you get those things out, then they don't lay in wait to ambush you. And it sounds like that you're gaining some victories, but it sounds like also that they're very hard fought. And I think that's pretty common for people who deal with depression, that they, you know, they have to fight and struggle for every inch, but victory can be attained. Thank you so much for calling in today,
hey,
Steve.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right, have a good day.
Right. You too. Bye.
Well, that's a very interesting, compelling story that Steve tells, you know, about a lifetime of depression, a lifetime of struggling and fighting, and finally gaining some joy and some strong sense of self. And it, you know, it's very important to do like what he has done. He's recognized his sadness and his loss and depression. Instead of fleeing from it, he's trying to address those directly. And it's important that we all try to find some safe people that we can share this stuff with. We're a community of wounded and broken people, and we need to be there for each other. When we come back, we're going to continue discussing dealing with depression, but we're going to start talking about practical ways to address the issues from both a clinical and a spiritual side. I am Russ Porter, and this is New Hope for Living on Inspiration AM 1110 WTIS.
Christ the King is
more than just a place to worship.
This church is like a second family.
A place where I can grow in the Lord.
Christ the King is people reaching out to people.
I enjoy helping others.
Working within our church family.
Working with the homeless.
Christ the King is
knowing Christ
and making Him known.
Christ the King Lutheran Ministries is hundreds of people working in dozens of ministries to reach out. Visit us at ctklm.org.
When life is hard, there is hope.
I can't talk to my husband anymore.
Why am I always so angry?
I don't recognize my son anymore, let alone understand him.
Why do I let people take advantage of me?
I can't seem to get along with anybody.
Is this as good as life gets?
When life is hard, there is hope. New Hope Counseling Center is here to help. Call New Hope Counseling Center at 595-2119 to begin your journey into hope.
Jesus put his loving arms around the children because he loved the little ones so much. At Loving Arms Christian Preschool, your child will experience that kind of love. Loving Arms Preschool is a nurturing, safe environment and open year-round. We're a quality, Christ-centered atmosphere for 1 to 6-year-olds. Loving Arms is a Florida VPK provider and offers full and part-time enrollment. Call Loving Arms Christian Preschool for a tour, 727-595-2112, or visit ctklm.org, 727-595-2112, or visit ctklm.org.
That's how I know that when I feel like
Welcome back to New Hope for Living. As usual, I am still Russ Porter, the director of the New Hope Counseling Center. And I want to encourage you while we have this break to pursue inspiration and encouragement, and in terms of dealing with depression or dealing with attitudes towards life. And on Saturdays here at WTIS, we have three shows from noon to three that are really good at that. We've got Pastor Fred Hinton's Pastor to Pastor, Pastor James Hicks, His Kingdom Will, and Evangelist Kennedy, The Uncut Truth. These are three guys that are just on fire for God, and every week they are bringing it hard. They're bringing scripture to you. So check those shows out in order to get some encouragement and get some guidance from the Word of God. So now we are back dealing with depression. We want to get into the practical sense of things of what can be done. We're going to start with clinical depression rather than situational. And, you know, we talked about clinical depression. There's different types. There's the major depression. There's the dysthymia, which is the kind of low-lying overcast to a person's life. We talked about bipolar disorder and seasonal affective disorder. The good news is, for all mental disorders out there, depression is probably the most effectively treatable. You know, there are different ways that you can work with it. Counseling is definitely effective. That, you know, counseling that focuses on the distorted thinking that we have. Because think about it, when you're depressed, everything looks dark. Everything that happens in your life is just filtered through negativity. And so you kind of lose a little bit of touch with objective reality. What counseling can do is help you sort through the distorted thinking, see what is accurate in your situation and what's not accurate. And it can also help you get unstuck from some ineffective patterns of behavior. Also, for treating clinical depression, you know, we've mentioned medications, antidepressants. And what they do is antidepressants and mood stabilizers, they're not what you would consider like a happy pill. These are not uppers. What antidepressants do by design, they balance out some of the neurotransmitters in your brain. And actually what they do is they block the reabsorption of a chemical called serotonin. So it ends up lingering in your system longer, and it balances your mood out. It doesn't make you happy, but it takes away that edge of the sapping, draining that depression does, and it helps kind of break the downward spiral. Now, the thing is, research has shown that both counseling, and the type of counseling I described is called cognitive behavioral. In other words, the way you think affects how you act, and the antidepressant medications, that each of them are effective. But whenever you combine the two of those approaches together, 80% of the people who go through that regimen show significant improvement. So if you think about it, and any sort of disease that you may have, if you have an 80% success rate, if you take a particular approach to it, you know, that's pretty good. And that would be something that I would suggest. And if you are out there and you are struggling with depression, if you've been victimized from it, or if you've been like Steve, who's just kind of assumed that this is how life was, and don't just accept your current state of living, don't just accept your current state of experience, get some counseling, talk to your doctor about possibly getting on antidepressants, because the combination is proven scientifically to be effective. Now, on the other side of the coin, you know, let's deal with non-clinical depression. As I mentioned, we've all dealt with depression at some time in our life. We all deal with things because we're constantly losing stuff. So going back to that concept of the alarm system, whenever we feel sad, it's our body and our minds trying to tell us something important. And what I would say is, when you feel sad, look for the loss. What is it that you have lost? Recognize it, grieve it if it's something that you can't get back, or do something to change it. You know, I talk to people all the time that are overweight, and I'm chief of all sinners there. And you know, there are people that complain, I'm overweight, I can't lose weight, I don't feel good. Well, complaining about that is embracing and recognizing the fact, but until you actually take some steps to alleviate the problem, you're going to still keep repeating the same issue. So the idea is, you know, whenever we feel sad, when we feel depressed, we need to recognize what we've lost, grieve it and get over it, or change it. Now, one thing important to understand about emotions, they're not designed for us to just suffer through. We need to follow the lead of these feelings to see where they're showing us what we need to change. Sometimes they need to be endured until the situation resolves, but it's not something for us just to suffer the negative feelings. Now, our emotional state is largely dependent on what our beliefs are. So there are some people that just have a very depressive temperament, that they're very melancholy. They can manage to find something negative in any situation and effectively just suck the life out of the room. And, you know, these are people that, you know, you don't want to spend too much time with, because that sort of attitude and mentality can become contagious. The good news when it comes to belief, we as Christians have the advantage. We have a framework outlined in the Bible of how we should be embracing life, how we should be experiencing things, and what we should be thinking. And if you think about that biblical framework, the good news is that we have a relationship with the God of the universe. Our eternal position is assured. Eventually, we're all going to be in paradise. And you know how it is that whenever you have a vacation coming, even if you work at a lousy job, you can endure that job because you have something good you're looking forward to. Well, we as Christians all get to do that, knowing that we have heaven in front of us. And also knowing that God gives us the power to overcome. That, you know, John 16:33 says that these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world, you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. And Christ is present in our lives. He is with us. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. Well, today we've discussed the prevalence and the impact of depression, both on society and those of us within the church. We've talked about how we need to recognize this issue in our own lives as well as within the community of believers. And we've talked about ways to deal with depression from both clinical and scriptural standpoints. In the future, I intend to do a show specifically about suicide, recognizing the danger signs and helping literally save people from themselves. Thank you for listening to New Hope for Living. And a special thank you for those who called in and shared a little bit of their lives with us. Please check out the New Hope for Living website at WTIS1110.com. And also check out the New Hope for Living Facebook page. Join us for next week's show, which is entitled Yours, Mine, and Ours, Families in the Blender. Today, I appreciate in particular the contributions of the people who called in. Appreciate Wendy and for her boldness in talking about the aspects of her life that have created depression and difficulty. And I'm hoping that those of you out there who heard her story will pray for her. And I thank you to Steve. I want to give a thank you to Steve that he shared his struggle with depression and ways that he's overcome. And this is something that hopefully all of us will get to experience, that sort of growth, that sort of the power that comes through God to overcome difficult and challenging things. Next week, we're talking about Yours, Mine, and Ours, Families in the Blender, exploring the challenges facing blended families. It's my hope that today you found a little hope through what you've heard. Until next week, be well and God bless.
You have been listening to New Hope for Living. The content of New Hope for Living is intended for entertainment and general information purposes. It is not designed to provide listeners with specific and personal counseling or professional service or advice. The programs are not meant to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disorder. Listeners should not infer that a personal or professional relationship has been established with the host. Any advice or information discussed on this radio show should not be treated as a substitute for the advice of your own doctor or therapist. If you feel you're in need of professional help, please contact your local mental health agency, your insurance provider, or 911 for a referral.
Weekday afternoons may never be the same. Mike Huckabee and Dave Ramsey, back to back, right here on Inspiration Radio, WTIS, Tampa.